Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Gluttony and intemperance lie at the foundation of the great moral depravity in our world. Satan is aware of this, and he is constantly tempting men and women to indulge the taste of expense, of health, and even life itself. Eating, drinking, and dressing are made the aim of life with the world. Just such a state of things existed before the flood, and this state of dispensation is one of marked evidence of the soon close of this earth history. The picture which inspiration has given of the antediluvian world represents too truly the condition to which modern society is fast hastening. We know that the Lord is coming very soon. The world is fast becoming as it was in the days of Noah. It is given over to self-indulgence. Eating and drinking are carried to excess. Men are drinking the poisonous liquors that makes them mad. In the days of Noah, the overwhelming majority was opposed to the truth and enamored with the tissues of falsehood. The land was filled with violence, war, crime, murder was the order of the day. Just so will it be before Christ's second coming. The labor unions are quickly stirred to violence if their demands are not complied with. Plainer and plainer it is becoming that the inhabitants of this world are not in harmony with God. No scientific theory can explain the steady march of evil workers under the generalship of Satan. In every mob, wicked angels are at work, rousing men to commit deeds of violence. The cruelty of men will reach such a height that God will reveal himself in his majesty. Very soon the wickedness of this world will have reached its limit, and as in the days of Noah, God will pour out his judgment. The terrible reports we hear of murders and robberies, of railway accidents and plane crashes, and deeds of violence tell the story that the end of all things is at hand. Now, just now, we need to be preparing for the Lord's second coming.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we most grateful and humble Father, once again, you've given us this opportunity to speak to your people once again. Father, we realize the signs are on every side, but I wonder if we truly understand that these signs are right before our eyes. Like Brother Julian read in his devotional, Father, everything as it was in the days of Noah is happening in our land and the world over. So today, Father, we pray for a double portion of your Holy Spirit more than ever before, because we do need it at this time. And that when you should come, Father, all of our sins have been confessed and forsaken. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who are listening to us for the first time. I want to first apologize for the program, a live call-in show that we had last Monday night. For those of you who might have been listening or trying to reach it, we had some technical difficulties. So we came in a bit late that afternoon from 9 to 11. But stay tuned. We will be having another live call-in program next month in July. So stay tuned and listen to the dates and times. If you want to reach us about comments concerning our program this afternoon or any of our programs, you can call us at 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. And let me just say here now that on our website, you could find articles written by Brother Paul or by Brother Renrick Bowe, who was not with us this afternoon. And also you could find duplications of the articles that Brother Paul put in the papers every Thursday morning. So you could also read them in the papers on Thursday morning. Brother Paul has a regular program that comes in the Nassau Guardian in the religious section, usually dealing with topics that we're dealing with here now or our call-in program. But before we continue our program, let us take a look now, Brother Paul, at those articles in the newspaper that might be of some spiritual significance. Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Well, coming from the paper on Friday, the Friday's Guardian and Tribune, and also the Bahama Journal, filled with a lot of stories, not happy stories, but sad stories. From the Tribune, bribery probe, officer to be suspended. There, based on this report, there's some report that there are a lot of bribery going on in our judicial system. What a sad thing this is. How much people maybe have been freed, or how many people have been locked up because something, you know, went the wrong way. Then we had it appeared to be a double murder, or at least they found two bodies dead, and Thursday evening, a young man and a young lady. According to the police reports, they right now have a young man in question for this incident. We also have a story coming from The Guardian. You heard about the mother whose daughter was raped. Now, she was crying out for more justice. You think the young man that was responsible for this should have gotten a little bit more time. And she's asking the government and those that are in charge to see what they can do to solve this problem, so in the event, God forbid, it should happen to one of our other little children, it would not be as easy as it is for this young man. You know, they think the time is too little. They think it should be more. Although he's getting a couple of strokes with the cat nine tails, still the country is crying out for a little more justice. Then some Cubans were caught trying to smuggle some immigrants. They were captured, and now I understand they're at our detention center, thanks to our American counterparts that work along with us in order to stop them from taking on this event they were trying to pull off. Then from the Bahama Journal, once again, the controversy of the club that is out west. This club, the club called, I can't remember the name of the club, whatever it is, you know, a minister of the gospel is right now trying to see if he could get this club closed down. Then, also coming from the paper, there's a lot of talk going on about the new budget debate. You know, my heart was broken as I tried to listen to the budget debate. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, do our ministers of the government really listen to these tapes as they're being played back to see their behavior, the way they conduct themselves in the House of Assembly? You know, I think they forget that the angel of the Lord is there taking an accurate record. And also God is looking down from heaven. Also the Holy Spirit is there taking note to everything that's being taking place in the courts of our House of Assembly, where our legislators meet to try to see what they can do to best run our land. So I'm going to ask them, you know, that it's something you got to pray about, and also something you got to train yourself. You know, you go there and you try to be as low key as you possibly can. You talk a little bit, you laugh a little bit, you say little things. You know, but I'm thinking is at that time when the person is speaking, by all means, you should be taking notes to make sure what they're saying is that you got to put our country further back than what it already is. Or maybe even you can put a little plug in that if you really can pull that off, I think we can be much more better than what we really are. So I'm going to tell them to, you know, that pray about it. You know, that's what I do when I first went to church. I never used to behave myself properly. I found out that God is very displeased when we don't conduct ourselves in the right way. And I mean, most of them, they are lawyers, so they should know how to conduct themselves in the court. I mean, if you go in the court not acting right, the magistrate have the power in order to really hold you in contempt. Even she even have the power, he or she, to send you to jail. So even that respect is shown in the court. Surely that respect should be shown in our House of Assembly downtown.
But Paul and ladies and gentlemen, the topic that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, and my memory serves me correctly, will also be the topic of our next call-in show, has to do with crime. As we look at the newspaper, like Brother Paul mentioned earlier, a double murder, and smuggling, and as we read the papers, we see a lot of incidents of crime and so forth. Also, over the last couple of weeks, we see on the talk shows that there was a lot of talk about the increase in crime. And some time ago, there was talk about the capital punishment and all these kind of things, and how do we go about reducing crime. Even when the last election cycle, there was talk about, again, how to reduce crime. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look from a biblical perspective, because as we listen to the talk shows, we see that very few people use the Bible to try to understand or explain how to solve this crime problem that we seem to be having on the increase. But let us see what the Bible has to say about these things. But before, my first question to you is, does the Bible give a reason or tells us why this crime is increasing as it is today?
Yes, Brother Julian. Right in Matthew chapter 24, the chapter that our listeners have been studying now for the past few weeks, is loaded with a lot of information. And one verse in particular, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus says, "And because iniquity should abound, the love of many will wax cold." Iniquity simply means you know you should not be doing what you're doing. You ignore the Holy Spirit and you decide you're going to go down this path on your own, hoping at the end of the day you will not be caught or you will not die in the situation you're in. And because of this, the love of the world, the love of many is waxing cold. You know, about last week, President Bush was on the CNN. He was giving a report about one of his generals saying that they believe Al-Qaeda is enemy number one, is public enemy number one. You know, in our radio program, I said public enemy is not number one. Al-Qaeda is not public enemy number one. Sin is public enemy number one. And sin is the problem. And iniquity has now taken its course where men do not want to hear a concept from the Word of God anymore. They want to do whatever they want to do. And here we are today. There's crime problems, not only in the Bahamas, but the world over. You know, on the television interview last week, there was one of our assistant commissioner police, along with two other gentlemen, they were on the talk show. They were talking about what can we do to solve crime. They were going, can we need to bring in help from the outside in order to solve the problem, but the solution to the problem is only rooted in one place. But the problem is, do we want that place? And that place is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Brother Paul, as you, I'm sure, read your Bible anyway, can this problem that we have be solved with government policies and programs presented by the Commission of Police and other entities, the Rotary Club, and all types of organizations have some solution to our crime problem, prayer vigils? Can these problems be solved in this manner?
No, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, the government is right now trying to implement a new program here in the Bahamas dealing with people who like to commit crime, some sort of electronic device. But I'm going to put it to the government, maybe all of us citizens need this electronic device, because I was listening to a radio program last week, and I called it to the talks when I asked the guests of the show. He had two other gentlemen, and they were reading their Bibles. And I asked them, let me ask you gentlemen a question. Is it true that we sin every day? And all of them on the show, at least two for sure, the other gentlemen didn't say, and they said, yes, we sin every day. So I was sort of taken aback to their answer, because I was saying the topic of that discussion, as a matter of fact, was we are talking solutions to crime. They were trying to find what are the solutions to crime. And my thing was, if the Christians are sinning, and if those who are not Christians are sinning, then how are the solutions, how the crime problem is going to be solved? And there was like, at least the host of the show said that not every sin is a sin. And he said, fornication is not a sin. When I asked him, what sin is that? And I said, what do you mean fornication is not a sin? And based on what I gathered from him, they believe that as long as it's not on the law books, it's okay for you to commit that sin. I mean, I stand to be corrected here, but I think, and as a matter of fact, I don't think he's in this boat by himself. A lot of people believe because these things are not sin that we are authorized to do, God does not look at these things like sin. For example, eating conk, when eating pork, and eating crawfish. You know, I was talking to a minister just on last week, and I said, if I apply for a license to open up a restaurant, and I'm going to sell rat as one of my delicacies, and cockroach, and lizard, and snakes, and frogs. I said, do you think I would get a license to open a such restaurant? And he said, he said, I was crazy. I said, no, I'm just trying to show you that I'm sure if I apply for that license, I will not get that approval. But this is where we have come to, ladies and gentlemen. We want nothing to do with the Word of God. We want to do whatever we want to do, and we expect to have an end result of things being good. But it's not going to happen. It's either God's way or there's no way. And because men have rejected God's word, Matthew 24:12 is being fulfilled. Iniquity is abound, and the love of many has waxed cold.
Brother Paul, you talked about sin and crime. But before we get there, you talk about sin. Before I get into sin and crime, we have spoken to a lot of ministers over the years. And one of the problems that we have faced from time to time is a definition for sin. So could you give the people that are listening to us this afternoon the Bible definition of sin?
The Bible definition is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, there are a lot of teachings that are around you now because Jesus came and died on the cross. There's no more law. But the Apostle Paul sets the record straight. He said, if there's no law, then there's no sin. If there's no law, then how come we are being locked up in jail for when we commit sins of the land? And these sins that we commit in the land are also sometimes sins of heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot separate the love of God from the law of God. You cannot separate the grace of God from the law of God. They go hand in hand. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why Jesus Christ died. Because you hear John the Baptist in John chapter 1 say, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Now, all that simply means that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid the sin for every sin. He paid the price for every sin you committed before you came to know him, and for every sin you'll create after you came to know him. But there's power in God's word for you not to sin. And the problem is today, most of us like to talk about the forgiveness of sin, but really, very rarely we hear about the power to not to sin. And that's the problem. And that's why the Bible says also in James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and to do it not, to him it is sin. So here again, the Bible says, if you know what you're doing is a sin, and you decide not to do that which you know is a sin, that there too becomes sin. And a lot of times you find ourselves in a situation where we are tempted. Being tempted is not a sin. It's only when you dabble in a particular sin. And a list of the commandments to point out sin is found in Exodus chapter 20. And in there is a whole list of things that God tells you, thou shalt not do. And all those promises and all those laws that God has placed is for our benefit. And once we abide in him, he will give us the power to obey that law, that his name can be glorified through us.
Brother Paul, this might be a little tricky question, but I hope you could follow it. Is crime a sin, and is sin a crime?
Yes, it is very Julian. Both of them are, both is the same thing. In order for you to commit a sin, in order for you to commit a crime, you there commit a, as a matter of fact, when you commit a crime, you'll be locked up in our courts. I mean, not locked up in the court, but the court then will find you guilty for that particular crime, and then they'll send you to jail. Well, whatever crime it is you commit in the Bahamas is also sin in the courts of heaven. You cannot separate them. And that's why it's dangerous for us to allow the law of God to dictate how we should live our lives. For example, if all goes planned last week on a weekend, if there's no bad weather, there's going to have something in Freeport called Just Rush. Well, I'd like to find out which part of Just Rush glorifies the Father. Then also in the newspaper last week, they were talking about they're celebrating this new beer brewery they're going to open up in Freeport, trying to create jobs and all this sorts of stuff. I mean, do these things really glorify God? And then we're trying to figure out, why do we have a problem here dealing with crime and incest and all these sorts of stuff? It's because we're rejecting the word of the Lord. Proverbs is quite clear in verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and who's ever deceived by it is not wise. Habakkuk tells us clearly that those things, those people who sell these things and give it to their neighbors and cause them to do things they wouldn't normally do, will be held accountable in the judgment. So not because you can get a license from the government to sell these products, that means it's okay. Not because you can get a license from the government to have your Just Rush junkanoo rush out, that means God's stamp of approval is upon it. You remember in the story of Belshazzar. Belshazzar went and got the centers of the God. He went and got the holy items out of the sanctuary, and he decided he was going to use those to have his party. And the Lord had to write on the hand of the wall in blood. That was weighed in the balance and found wanting. And today the same thing is existing all around us, because men want to do what they want to do. And God in His love and in His wisdom and His mercy, He allows you to run your course, realizing at the end of the day you will find yourself outside the kingdom of God.
One of the things that we'd like to do today, Brother Paul, is we'd like to find out where the problem lies. Who is to blame for these crimes and problems and sin that we see on this earth today?
We are to blame, Brother George. I know a lot of people don't want to believe that, but each of us individually are to blame for the situation that's taking place. It's not Satan. Satan's job is to do one thing. He only tempts you to sin, but he cannot force you to sin. He is the tempter. We are the ones that follow the temptation through, and then we ourselves commit sin. Remember the story of Adam and Eve, where the sin factor in the earth really began. When Satan tempted Eve to eat the fruit, she fell for it. Then Eve in return gave it to her husband. When they went before God, Eve blamed Satan. Adam blamed Eve. And both of them were still found guilty before the court of God. And the same thing was applying today. When husband and wife do things contrary to each other, they blame each other. Well, he caused me to do, she caused me. No. You did it on your own. No one can force you to do that which is wrong. And that's why Jesus said, if your enemy do you something wrong, still love them. Still love the person that is doing you something wrong. And this is the reason why we have so much problem with the labor unions. Just with every week the labor unions are in the paper. They're trying to force the government to do that which they think the government should be doing. Not realizing when the government give them a raise, there are other people in the government arena who the government also have to give raises to also. This is not a one-time. If it's a one-time payment, the government maybe can pull it off. But when the government got to sit around their round table and they got to be going through, now how, where's the money going to come from in order to pay for this and to pay for that? The government got to answer in the courts of heaven too. The Bible is quite clear, don't be slothful in business. So when the government sit down to try to figure out how they're going to raise all these different people's pay raise here, the government has to know where the money is going to come from. But the problem is, the people don't want to hear that. So what do? They go on a strike. They threaten the government. If you don't do what you want to do, remember, you only have 5 years. And remember, just like we vote you in, we're going to vote you out. Well, you got to take that up with God. You can say what you ever want to say. My Bible tells me in Daniel that God raised up governments and He put them down. So you can say whatever you want to say. The effort of them is going to be in power until God sees fit to move them. And if it's in His will, they might just beat until the world comes to an end. He is in charge. As well as it could be vice versa. He could vote the FNM out, bring the PLP in, and if he sees fit, the PLP could be until 10 times be no more. Or vice versa, he can vote both of them out and bring in the BDM. You see, ladies, that God is in control of the affairs of who's going to rule the country. We don't play no part in that. Yes, you may cast your vote, but remember, as a matter of fact, just in the paper on Friday, one of my friends brought to my attention in the Tribune here again, an article written by a young man's view. He quoted his paper by saying, I think it was 100 ballots, if I'm not mistaken, were spoiled ballots. And these people voted for the FNM. But what they did is they took it upon themselves and wrote a message sort of to Mr. Fred Mitchell, if I remember the story correctly. And because they wrote that information on the ballot, it was a spoiled ballot. And therein, Fred Mitchell was voted back in as the member of Fox Hill. So see, the Lord knows what He is doing. And how much other incidents like that are out there? That people went to do one thing and they did the other. So you might go on the boat to vote for the PLP and you might find yourself voting FNM. or you may go into booth thinking you're going to vote FNM, you end up voting PLP. The Lord is in charge, and He works in the affairs of all men on planet Earth. So,
yes, but Paul, you mentioned about labor unions. Should the labor unions not be looking out for their members?
Yes, Brother Julian, but not to the point where they're going to try to shut the country down. You know, if you have someone representing you, you're not, okay, for example, if the labor union is representing you and you're around table talk with the government, when the labor union goes, they're just going over there and say, you know, my workers is wondering if it's possible, Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Labor Union Chief, whoever it may be, if it's possible, you can give us a pay increase of $100 or $50 or whatever. Or if you maybe is looking for better working conditions because the department where you're working, the air conditioner is not working, or the bathroom is not working, whatever like that. That's the attitude they're going to go with. But they're not, but most labor unions, based on what I see, go with the attitude that if you don't do X, Y, Z, then we give you 30 days or we give you 60 days or whatever. And at the end of that, we're going to take our action. And then what happened? The country shut down. Just last year, or year before last, I think it was, there was time for the children to take examinations. And the teachers were threatening to go. As a matter of fact, I think some of those kids did not take the exam. It's time to be corrected. Something happened anyway along the examining area of the teachers. And I can remember quite well on they said, but this is unfair to the children. But he's just saying it's also unfair to us because we need our money. But, you know, the Bible is quite clear. Do good to them that despitefully use you. If you think the government is misusing you, ladies and gentlemen, God is going to deal with the government. God is going to deal with them. It's not your responsibility to deal with them because Bible says, Paul told us that vengeance is God's own and He will repay. And He's not given any of us the authority to try to do His job. He is going to do it when He returns. You have to wait for Him. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. And there's no way in the Bible He tells you must take actions in your own hands. Stand back and see the salvation of God. And He will work it out like He did for all the prophets of old and also the children of old. Just as He did for them, He will do for you, because the Bible says He is no respecter of person.
But Paul, we so far in the program we have talked about the problem. And I guess over the next few weeks we'll be dealing more specifically some of the more specific problems. But as we wind down this afternoon, where can the solution to this problem, this crime problem, this sin problem be found?
The solution, Brother Julian, a lot of people, Christians, talk about the solution can only be found in Jesus. But do we truly, truly, really want Jesus to solve the problem for us? Do we really want to be continue to abide in the vine according to John chapter 15? Where Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Ye that abide in me and I in you, the sinner bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Do we really want Jesus to work the situation out for us? Or do we want to take on the attitude like the Apostle Peter when Jesus was getting ready to go before Pilate, when he's getting ready to take Jesus away, and Peter took out his sword and cut off the guards there, and Jesus then placing the air back on. I mean, that's the attitude most of us want. We want to do what the Lord said He will do. And when we do these things, we are taking matters into our own hands. Remember Jesus on the cross, He did not have a word. He went before Pilate, and sometimes He didn't say anything to Pilate. It wasn't until Pilate said who He was, He said, you said that. I did not say that, Pilate. We have to remember, we have to keep our mouths shut. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. The Apostle Paul said, we are latter being read of all men. When our colleagues and when our family members and when our church members see us who are not Christians and those in our neighborhoods that we live in, when they see us, do they see Christ or do they see something else? These are things we need to think about. You know, another sad thing came from the discussion of our parliamentarians was during the budget debate. You know, Miss one of our new social, the ladies who are in charge of our social department, Miss Loretta Butter Turner, she made a very saddening statistic. She said they did a survey. They found that 45% of the children are in single parents' home. And I think if I understand the record, she said 50% of those kids are under the age of 14. That's some sad statistics there. That 45% of the kids are in single parents' home. My heart go out to the parents who find themselves in this situation, because this is some serious stuff here. And that's why our parents, more than ever before, we need to put our children in the right schools, the right churches, the right parents, and the right right people. That what you and I cannot do, others can help you along the way. That to make sure that our kids get the best they can possibly get if they find themselves in a single parent home. And remember that God Himself said He'll be a father to the fatherless. So let's turn off the TV sometime, turn off the radio, and get around the family altar and see what you can do to find out what's best for you and your family as we begin to close down.
But Paul, if the Bible has a solution, we have the Bible, then why are we still having this problem?
Because we are not following the principles of the Bible, Brother Julian. No, Jesus has studied. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't read it. Study it. Get your dictionary on. Look up some of the meaning of those words and see exactly what they're trying to say. That every word of the dictionary is important. Every word of God is pure. And every word of God is true. Jesus Himself is about to come. And when He comes, He didn't want to find none of us in a position outside the kingdom of heaven. But if we have sins in our lives, we really would find ourselves outside. Because 1 John 2:3 says, hereby we do know that we know Jesus Christ, if we keep his commandments. And he that says, I know him, and keeping not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is on him. I'm sure none of us want to be found liars when Christ should return. And he's just waiting for you to open the door so he can come in.
Brother Paul, you mentioned the commandments. Is the commandments important that is understanding of sin and crime?
They are very important, Brother Julian. Because where there is no law, there is no transgression. You won't know what sin is unless you know what the law is. As a matter of fact, they are so important. Revelation 22:14 says, and blessed are they, or happy are they, that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates, into the city. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 12:7, it says, the dragon is only angry at those who keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if we continue to find ourselves not wanting to abide in the commandments of God, if we continue to find ourselves not wanting to be abide in the love of God, then we be among those who are known as dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and adulterers, and those who love it and make it a lie. So today I invite you to pick up your Bible today, you and your family, and study it. So when Christ should come, you will find yourself rooted so grounded in his word. You will have on the attitude like David, I have hide the word of God in my heart, that I may not sin against the lovely Jesus.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for an opportunity and a privilege to come before your throne. We come before you, O God, first asking forgiveness, and ask for the cleansing of mind and body. Lord, we come asking for your Holy Spirit power to understand and to have the power and the strength and the desire to even want to read and study your word. Give us that power, we ask, O God. Give us the power to now want to change our life, to turn over another leaf. Give us the power, we ask. So that when you should come in the clouds, we will be willing to go home to live with you. Is our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God continue to be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And may God richly bless you. This is Julian Miller.